Aloha mai kakou. Welcome to The Music Within, our podcast focused on beauty, dignity, and truth. We are recording in the lovely Honolulu, Hawaii, and we are at Holy Family's Life Office. Mahalo for joining us on the podcast. I am Maile Ayu Domingo with the Hamau Iloko Foundation, and we have a vision, and our vision is to uphold human dignity, your dignity, and build a culture of family. Everybody hungers for that. And we kind of started out in 2007 when we would have these potlucks at our house and families and funny families would come and join us. And we just talked about our masculinity and our femininity, and it's been an amazing ride. My podcast partner, Jimena Suarez, is on an educational journey right now doing her professional certification. So I have a guest co-host, Brian Domingo. Welcome.
Hi, brought me back again. Happy to be back.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. As always, we like to sort of engage the community to take social responsibility for upholding that dignity. And so I want to encourage you to seek out any of our political news in HawaiiFamilyForum.org and just stay informed. You know, don't be afraid to listen to the perspective of people who have constitutional integrity and can guide you to voting according to your faith, according to your beliefs, and to uphold that personal human dignity. Our voice is really important, and you know, to go talk story with your representative and share with them your thoughts and your opinion on their policies regarding business, faith life, education. And yeah, we just want to really encourage you there. And I also wanted to commend another kind of leadership that we have, and it's the bishops of the USCCB. Recently, they had a gathering where they wanted to vote on holding our political representatives accountable, in particular to the Eucharist. And we as Catholics believe that Jesus is fully present, totally, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And so when we approach him and when we receive him into our being, that's a testimony, a witness of our belief. And so if we believe that, then there's a protocol, there's a design that we have to be faithful to acknowledging that lordship over our life. And it's just a way to help us be accountable. And I believe that we need to be accountable to ourselves and hold each other accountable. And for the bishops to hold our political representatives accountable to their word, I believe is truly just an act of mercy. Because when a human being can say something and live that out as a truth, we actually build their dignity and their self-esteem. But when we allow the next human being to say something as a commitment and then violate that commitment, they're not upholding their dignity. They're not being faithful to their word. And so holding each other to the truth is actually a way for each of us to show one another mercy and to cause our community to live the integrity of our humanity. So I just wanted to mahalo our bishops. I don't remember what the number was, but I know it was over 75%. Of bishops that wow. voted in favor of upholding that regard and reception of the Eucharist. So anyways, yeah, if you guys have a bishop that you have relationship with, or maybe that you've never reached out to, I encourage you, write a letter to your bishop and thank them for helping our community and helping the President of the United States tell the truth about their faith, and especially about Jesus hiding in the Eucharist. Okay, so now our podcast talk story today is, of course, with our co-host, Brian Domingo. And we have decided that we're going to continue the theme of dating and the intentional mindset behind dating in order to pursue that success. And last time we had Joseph and Brian chatting about their strategy as from the masculine perspective, and that was absolutely beautiful. But today I am privileged and honored to introduce Brian's wife, my daughter-in-law.
Record time to crying for this podcast. Good job, honey.
I'm so proud to have her here because together she and Brian can witness their journey. And I'll have to say, I observed it hasn't been easy. So, Ashley Domingo, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Mom. I appreciate you. Very honored to be here. Oh, I'm going to try not to cry too. but I want to thank you as well because my husband is the way he is today because of the way that you've raised him. You know, theology of the body since 2007. And I haven't been raised on that since 2007. But I am reaping the fruit and the benefits of such a fruitful and nurtured and nourished marriage. And I'm so grateful for that. So it's an honor to, you know, kind of come full circle and be in support of, you know, Haumau'i Loko's vision. And because I've seen what it's done to, you know, Brian's siblings and in his personal life and in our marriage. So just very excited to be here. Excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today because Brian and I have many long car rides talking about our relationship and our marriage and how excited we are every day about our life. And yeah, it's just been awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here with you, Ash, and thank you, Mom, for you know, giving us this opportunity. Now, we're only here for, you know, 45 minutes to talk about it, but to mm-hmm. be honest, I think we could talk about, you know, the our observations and our experiences and you know, what we've seen from our relationship and from our peers' relationships. We could talk mm-hmm. about that for literally hours.
Oh yeah.
But we really wanted to cover a couple of things specifically and just kind of give a snapshot of our life. And I just want to start out by saying that we are by no means experts on this. We mm-hmm. just have our story. That's the only story we can tell because it's the only one that's ours. And we're far from perfect. We are sinners saved by grace for sure. And we just hope that by sharing our journey and sharing, you know, what we've observed and the thinking behind the decisions that we've made, we hope that we can give a little bit of insight to others who are, further back on the path that we have walked and are wanting to reap the same fruits and the mm-hmm. same rewards in the relationship with God and with each other. So that is really our hope, and we really are so humbled to have the opportunity to just share a bit of our journey.
Thanks, you guys. It is. It's truly an honor. And it's kind of exciting, too, to provide a map mm-hmm. for people to look at and decide intentionally that they can make choices to map out their life to have the kind of success that you guys have had. And it's a beautiful witness, not only to that intentionality, but also to your participation in the plan God has for your life. And I think that's what's wonderful about being male and female is that you don't know everything about each other.
Yeah.
But the journey to discover, to know each other, and to be known is part of the delight. And so I have reaped the benefits in me knowing who you are. And it's just been a very beautiful, beautiful observation. So... Bri, before we start, I wanted to ask you if you could kind of fill in for the audience who hasn't listened to the previous podcast about the boxes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, so we talked two podcasts ago, and even last podcast we mentioned it briefly. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen, because we go mm-hmm. into, I go more in depth into, you know, how the relationship boxes work for those of you who want to listen. definitely go and give that one a listen to get more in depth. But basically, in brief, the relationship boxes is basically saying, like, hey, there are certain things that me and my, you know, my partner believe belong in certain stages of the relationship. Mm-hmm. For example, like, we believe there are things that belong in a platonic relationship, and we believe things there are things that belong in a dating relationship. And if you're in a platonic relationship, you don't take things out of the dating relationship box to play with and have and enjoy if you're not at that stage of relationship. And then the same goes for if you're engaged. There are things that, you know, belong in an engaged relationship, for, you know, fiancés to have, that don't belong in a dating relationship. So basically just segregating, you know, what you believe those things should be and keeping them in those boxes, because should your relationship progress into the next stage, say from dating to engaged, then you have this wonderful gift of this mm-hmm. box that you get to open up with your partner and enjoy the things that you've saved for that box. And what it does is it allows a proper place for those things that you've decided to put into those boxes. And it really becomes a blessing and a joy for yourself and for the other person. And then it also safeguards against harming the other person, right? You know, in our relationships, we don't want to over harm the other person. So if your relationship is not meant to, if God has not deigned for you to proceed into, you know, the next stage of a relationship, you know, seeking towards marriage, then, you know, you've left that box intact for that person to open it with the right person.
Wow.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So by doing that, we kind of hit a couple of birds with one stone. You know, we're able to protect our own heart and our own self, and we're able to, you know, protect the other person. But also we're able to reap the rewards and bless the other person should we enter that stage and be able to really enjoy some of those things. And we'll talk about some of that today. So yeah, that's the boxes in brief. Again, go listen to our past podcast to hear us go more in depth on that. But we're going to talk a little bit about that, because that was one of the things that we did that really created a lot of what we feel is success in our relationships, and it created so much joy for us, right, Ash?
Yeah, absolutely. And before we move forward, I wanted to talk a little bit about, I guess, the woman's perspective on these boxes and my perspective, because I think that if you're a guy listening to this podcast, you're like, okay, Brian, that sounds great.
Boxes,
if you're a woman,
if you're a woman
listening to this podcast, and you're hearing about these boxes, and you're hearing, so you're telling us not to talk about certain things or not to daydream. Like, we have 20,000 words in a day. We gotta put it somewhere. And when we date someone, it's kind of like hiring them for full time, you know, to listen to what we're saying, you know, all our daydreams and everything. I think when you first talked about these boxes with me, Brian, I didn't understand. Oh, actually, later on, I understood that this was I'm not going to say the word, boundary that you were bringing up in our relationship. And it was just our friendship relationship. And if you're like me, people who are listening to this podcast, I kind of shudder when I hear the word boundary. It sounds like one of those words that, you know, take the fun out of everything. Brian's going to talk more about that, but I recently heard this from somewhere, that boundaries aren't made to destroy the relationship, it's to protect the relationship. And it took me a little bit to realize that is what exactly Brian was doing. He was protecting our friendship.
Yeah, you know, I recently heard this analogy. You know, imagine someone gives you a guitar and says, hey, you have the freedom to play whatever you want, right? But if you have never played a guitar and you don't know how to play guitar, then you don't really have a whole lot of, even though they said, hey, you can play whatever you want, you don't really have a whole lot of freedom with it. So what do? Is you actually arrest that freedom, and you learn little bits at a time. You learn a few chords, you learn to play your scales. And then eventually you're able to actually play a song and have something that actually sounds wonderful come out of that guitar. So really what happens with our relationships is the same thing really needs to happen. Is, I know everyone wants to have freedom to do whatever in their relationship, but if you aren't able to first arrest that freedom and have a mastery of relationships and really a mastery of understanding another person, then kind of like a guitar, if you don't know what you're doing, you won't get anything sounding really good out of it, first of all, and you may actually accidentally you know, damage the guitar. And I think that happens a lot in relationships when people just try and say, oh, I'm just going to do whatever I want. And they're not willing, or they're not, they don't know how to arrest that freedom that they have within that relationship. And it ends up either harming themselves or harming the other person. And you don't get a, you don't get to hear the beautiful music within, from that relationship. So, you know, one of what we talk about is really allowing, you know, certain stepping stones that people can use to arrest that freedom that you have within a relationship in order to really gain a mastery of, you know, being in relationship with another person on a journey closer to God.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to talk about it later on, but there are some healthy ways and some great tools that we're going to bring up later on, how to, I guess, put those words and those daydreams in a, in the correct mindset, so that we're not, I guess, harming the other person in the wrong stage of relationship. So I'll talk about that later. But I, now that we're married and we've, you know, we've moved from several boxes, I'm grateful for that kind of mindset. I'm grateful that Ryan had the courage to bring that up to me and to initiate that and lead that in our relationship. It allowed us to grow in our relationship with Christ first. It allowed us to grow to be the best versions of ourselves, allowed us to develop healthy relationships with other male and female friends. And we'll talk more about that, about the benefits of these boxes later. But we just had the best time dating and opening those boxes. It was great.
I was wondering if there's any specific moment you want to tell us about that you remember that would kind of illustrate what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, we've had several, and it's I talked on the first podcast that I was on. I talked about the time where we weren't dating. We wanted to date, but we weren't ready to date yet. Mm-hmm. And I talked about the time we went out to dinner to our Italian restaurant, and I remember just how uncomfortable that was. And it was uncomfortable because that was the one and only time that we actually did something that sort of seems like it was something that dating people do. It's like they go to a nice Italian restaurant and they order, you know, food and some drinks, and it was really uncomfortable because of the fact of how well we protected each other, and how well we protected, how well we safeguarded those boxes, really, because we weren't dating yet. So we didn't do things that dating people did, even though I really liked her and she was sort of into me. But we just weren't at that stage in our relationship yet. So go back and listen to that story.
Yeah. That's a fun one. I think the waiter thought we were having an argument because we did not look like we were enjoying our meal.
It was just so awkward. Like, this is not right.
I'm just here to eat my food and you're just standing next to me.
You know, when we started talking about the boxes, I think it becomes a very important conversation, because I think what I've observed from other people is it's actually, for a lot of couples, I think it's a very anxiety-ridden process to find out what stage of the relationship they're in, first of all. Like, you hear stories or you hear people talk about it, and the guy will do something or the girl will do something, and they go, oh, okay, I guess that's where we're at now. You know, whether it be, holding hands or kissing or you know, anything in a relationship, and it's not really discussed, and they just kind of go along with it because they're worried about, they don't have the communication skills to really say, hey, where are we at?
That's every rom-com movie.
Yeah, that's every rom-com movie. Yeah, exactly. So for us, you know, for our conversation, we said, okay, hey, these are the things that I think belong in a dating relationship, and if we're not dating, then we're not going to do these things. Now, like I said, when we started, is we definitely were not perfect with that, but it really took a level of trust and a process of gently reminding each other, you know, hey, I think maybe that belongs in a certain box. Like, I remember one time we were driving along somewhere, and there was this new restaurant that, you know, that we'd heard about. It was kind of trendy, and I think you had kind of asked me, like, oh, hey, wouldn't that be a cool place to go out on a date? And I remember just kind of...
I wasn't even thinking.
She was just thinking out loud, really. And I remember just gently reminding her, being like, hey, but, you know, I think that kind of conversation is maybe something we should leave that in the dating box.
I want to interrupt. Yeah, is that because you weren't dating?
Oh, we weren't dating at that point. Yeah.
Okay, that was before we were just friends.
Yeah, we were just friends. And she was kind of like, oh...
How many months or years did you guys just... hang out as friends?
It was 2 years.
Yeah.
So it was. Oh, it was. Wow. I mean, we had been friends. I talk about our story in our other podcast again. We'd known each other since we were 10. But you know, after I told her that I really liked her, she was like, "No, duh." But at that point, we'd admitted we liked each other, but we weren't ready to date yet. Mm-hmm. So we waited 2 years. At that point, we waited 2 years, and it was just an arbitrary choice to wait 2 years. We just felt like that was a good amount of discernment time for us. So there are things like that, and just gently reminding each other, like, hey, I think that belongs in other boxes.
Yeah. And yeah. Even when we would, like for Halloween, we would dress up, you know, hang out with, you know, Brian's younger siblings. And if we got dressed up as certain characters and people want to take pictures, like we would say, tell each other, hey, Brian, we're not a couple. So we're not going to take like couple pictures just so now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And wow. we used to make costumes and stuff like that for fun. We wouldn't take a couple pictures, even though people were like, oh, you guys are so cute. And we'd be like, we're not dating, stuff like that. other things too. So I remember when we were dating, Ash asked me one time, she said, oh, you know, what kind of honeymoon would you like to go on? You know, when you get married. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I'll answer that question, but after I answer the question, you need to put that back into the engagement box. You know, you need to put that back in the engagement box, because I didn't want her to be daydreaming about our honeymoon when we were just dating. We weren't even engaged yet. And I didn't want her daydreaming for the next 2 weeks about what kind of honeymoon we would have. Now, one of the things about the boxes is if you're going to progress in your relationship, you need to eventually have those discussions. Mm-hmm. You need to have those talks about, you know, hey, where are we at? You know, I've been praying about this. You know, are we ready to move our relationship up into another stage? So that's something that we did do. And we kind of called them like, I forget, we had a name for it, but it was basically like a relationship timeout. It was basically like, okay, we're gonna discuss where we're at with our relationship. We're gonna discuss where we're at with our individual discernment with God and with each other. Mm-hmm. So we'd have like these discussions every 6 months where we could, you know, sort of bring out things in the next boxes and say, hey, you know, where are our values aligned in terms of being pro-life? Are our values aligned in terms of, you know, going to church? Are our values aligned in terms of raising a family? You know, because we need to know that if we're going to proceed and continue in a relationship. So we would have those kind of timeout sessions where we'd get to talk about them. And then after that, they would go back in the box. Now, we talk about the important stuff now. There were things that we didn't talk about that much. I mean, and people, you know, have said to us before, they say, oh, how can you know if this is the person to marry? Like, what if you don't agree on your wedding colors or something like that? How are you supposed to? And you know, our response is kind of like, you know, if God has deigned for us to be lifelong soulmates and partners, then we're going to be able to figure out the wedding colors. Okay. Like, if you can't agree on wedding colors, you shouldn't be talking about getting married, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, people have told us in the past, like, oh, don't you need to like know if you know certain things, like, don't you have to, you know, sort out certain things? And yes, you do. But it's the important things that we talked about. It wasn't superficial things.
Yeah. And side note, that we had become really great at, you know, these boxes, that by the time we were engaged, people were asking me what wedding colors I wanted, and I didn't know what to say because I had never thought about,
never talked about it.
Yeah. And you know, that's different for every lady. But I think because we were so, I guess, diligent and, you know, and disciplined, we really got to enjoy, you know, talking about those things at the appropriate time. Like, even when we were dating, there were certain things that we didn't talk about with each other. Like, Brian never said, I love you forever. Like, he said that was something he was saving for his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something that we did is, you know, there were certain things to say that we believe belonged in certain boxes. So, you know, even though we'd known each other for a long time, when we were just friends and we weren't dating yet, I didn't say I loved you, because I believe that was, you know, that was a relationship thing. Even though I did, you know, love her as a sister in Christ at that point, you know, it wasn't a thing that we said because it was too easy to be misconstrued or misinterpreted, things like that. So there's a lot of little things like that that went into, you know, kind of just keeping keeping those things straight. And we did have to constantly remind each other, you know, like, hey, maybe we should save that for, maybe we should save that in the box and leave that in the box.
So you bumped into moments where maybe you didn't realize that one action or one verbal expression didn't belong in the box that you guys mm-hmm. were currently in. Mm-hmm. And so you had to indicate to each other, like, there were differences, right?
Yeah.
Or was it just more like you weren't thinking, and so it came out? And like you said, Ashley, you have to be disciplined to protect those boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple things that really helped with that, actually. One of those things was we had a shared journal together. So we had one journal. It was one journal. And we would write letters to each other back and forth.
This is while dating.
Yeah. Ash actually gave it to me on our first date, and that was really nice. Yeah. And we just wrote letters in the journal. So they were all together in one place. And we wrote letters to each other, and then I would write a letter and I'd give it to her, and I would for her to write a letter and she'd give it back to me. And we'd write a letter to each other, you know, maybe every couple of months or so. But it was just a kind of way to communicate to the other person where we were at spiritually, emotionally along this journey together. So that really helped us a lot in terms of kind of keeping things straight and communicating to each other of where we were at, without going into the boxes too much, you know?
Yeah. And even when we would accidentally poke a hole in those boxes, I think because we had grown maturely so well, because we had those really great, I'm trying to avoid the word boundaries, but
guidelines.
Guidelines. We had to mature. That's a box without knowing it, or trick right. you into that. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things we were able to communicate clearly, and it took a lot of practice. And a lot of it was more of a heated discussion, like, is this in the box? Is this not in the box? And
and why do I keep trying to take things out of the box anyway?
Yeah, just put it back and see what's duct tape.
Well, I mean, and that is so, I mean, it's so true to human nature. Like, God designed us mm-hmm. for that union. God designed us to be drawn to each other. And we were constantly. But keeping things in the boxes was a way for us to honor that call that God had designed for us and mm-hmm. designed for us to experience with the person we're meant to be dating, or with the person we were meant to get engaged to, and with the person we're meant to marry. So we honored that, and we had such a huge respect for those things that were meant for the other person. And we wouldn't dream of stealing that away from them.
Absolutely.
Because that's really what it was. We took something out of the box that wasn't meant to be taken out at that point, we really felt like stealing something that belonged mm-hmm. to that person.
Absolutely. You know?
Like your expression about keeping that that's in the box intact mm-hmm. for the box to be open. And mm-hmm. you're really sort of describing what it's like to receive a gift.
Absolutely.
You know, a gift that has not been opened. And as you guys were sort of teasing about the box, identifying what's in the boxes, mm-hmm. I was thinking about when you're learning a musical instrument. And most people, they have an instructor. They have a teacher that helps to guide them. And so... how did you guys maybe overcome the moments when somebody was like, this belongs in the box, and the other one was like, well, I kind of like it out of the box. And, you know, when there wasn't an agreement, did you have someone guide you in those discussions?
Yeah, we did. So one of the things that we kind of said to ourselves when we first started dating is, A, we never really dated before, so that probably means we're pretty bad at it, and I'm pretty stupid, so let's get some help. So that was the first thing we did. You mentioned, you know, when you want to learn something new, you don't just try it out typically, you know, you learn from people who have done it successfully before. So that was what we did. We pursued the CODAs and they mentored us, and any questions that we had, really, we really brought to them, and we were humble enough to submit to their further, you know, their experience and wisdom in the arena of dating. Cause like I said, we were probably really bad at it, and we had observed a lot of our peers go through similar struggles. We had observed a lot of our peers, you know, go into dating and just try it out and see what happens. And mm-hmm. it got pretty ugly in a lot of cases. And we said, okay, how do we not end up like them? You know? Ash talks about it all the time. She talks about relationships that way.
Yeah. You know, it drives me crazy sometimes because, you know, if I wanted to be a surgeon, I would never jump into that career saying, I'll just figure it out. I'm going to wing it. No, you would want to learn. No, absolutely. You would want to learn from the best surgeons, go through the schooling needed, surround yourself with hardworking students or successful people in that medical field. And that's exactly what we did when we were taking those first steps to, you know, moving forward in our relationship. You know, people spend 4 to 5 years, maybe 8 years in college for the career that they're going to, you know, live out for a portion of their life. But what about marriage? You know, marriage is for, you know, the rest of our life. So where's the preparation work there in before you get married? And so we just had that mindset, you know, we're going to be great students of, you know, each other, ourselves, and people who know what it's like to live a grounded marriage in Christ and a fruitful one.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of similar. I mean, if you think about a surgeon, you know, if you're going to go under the knife, you're literally putting your life in that person's hands, right? Well, as our vocation as married persons, you know, we're putting our spiritual life into the other person's hands, and mm-hmm. we're saying, I'm going to, you know, I'm trusting you to help me get to heaven, right? So, you know, for us, it's like it deserves as much, if not more, dedication, study, practice, you know, education from people who have gone before us, to really be successful in our relationships. And that took a lot of work on our part. We dedicated monthly to you know, meeting with mentors who could help us, mentors who had fruit on the tree in the way of relationships and could help us think about, you know, our challenges in our relationship differently, who could help us think about communication differently. Mm-hmm. So that has been really huge for us, and we definitely credit you know, a lot of the success that we've had and a lot of the joy that we've experienced in our relationship to that commitment of time and learning about each other.
Speaking of learning about each other, it sounds like you guys really invested in your education about how to be a couple and how to identify these boundaries and how to pursue the knowledge of someone that went before you that had the life. And I like your analogy, mm-hmm. Ashley, about the surgeon, because they dedicate hours to becoming excellent at their craft. Mm-hmm. And I think that we think that relationships is just supposed to happen.
Yeah. I'll figure it out. Do it my way.
So tell me a little bit more about your mindset. Regarding how you approached and how you did failures, how you handled failures in your relationship. I just feel like you guys have an incredible mindset.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for that. I think as serious as a student who wants to get an A+ and pass the class, that's me. I'm the A+ person.
This is an audio podcast. Ashley's an Asian, so, you know, A+ is a requirement.
But we were just as serious about, you know, growing in the right direction with our relationship. We always say we want to be the best students of, you know, each other, you know, in our relationship. But how can we do that if we don't know ourselves? Like, if you're not a good student of ourselves, if we cannot love ourselves, how can we love another person? If we cannot love ourselves and understand the love that God has for us, then what makes us think that we were able to give it away as freely as God gives it to us or to the other person that we're in relationship with? So we were serious about, we're still learning, and we're perpetually just learning and pursuing that life where, you know, we can, I don't know what I'm saying. we're just lifelong learners, I think.
Yeah, and we're pursuing the life that God has designed for us.
Yeah.
We're pursuing the relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your relationship is more than just yourself. It's who you impact outside of yourself.
Absolutely.
We really look at success in anything as a planned event. You know, success doesn't happen on accident.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe the same about our relationship. So, absolutely, you know, if we're going to be successful in a relationship, we're going to plan for that to happen. And we're going to really pursue tools and pursue, you know, whatever it is we can get to our advantage, in order for us to, you know, avoid the pitfalls of relationships, you know, pitfalls like, hurting the other person, pitfalls like poor communication, pitfalls like uncommunicated expectations. Pitfalls like following bad advice from people who might mean well in your relationship. So we've done a lot. We've read books. We've listened to podcasts. We've talked to a lot of couples, and we've, you know, any chance we get, if we're at a party, say we're at a graduation party and we're just sitting down and we're sitting across another couple that's been married, you know, 20, 30 years, we'll ask them, we'll say, you know, hey, what is some of your guys' favorite moments about your marriage and in your 20 years? And that can just be, it's such a simple question, but it can just be so fruitful in learning from people who have gone before us. And it might seem kind of old fashioned, but, you know, if you look at old fashioned relationships, they lasted a lot longer than they seem to last nowadays. So there might be something to those.
Some of the books that we've read, and there's a ton of books that we've read, but just a few that we're going to mention here is 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Mm-hmm. Such a great book. Once again, looking at, you know, learning about myself, how I love, how I receive love. And then looking at the other person, like how do they love? How do they receive love? Wired That Way by Marita Litauer. I can't pronounce her last name, but that was another great book where we can learn about ourselves. Why am I the way that I am? Mm-hmm. Why is he the way that he is? And then one last book that I want to bring up. It's a fun one. This one's called For Women Only by Shanti Feldhahn, and that one is a fun one. It does say for women only, but guys can read it too. It's totally fine. But it looks at, you know, why are guys the way that they are? Guys in particular, why do they think the way they think? And she highlights, well, why are women the way we are? You know, why do we have 20,000 words in a day? You know, why are we tend to be more emotional, and, you know, those kinds of things. And so that one's a fun one that I highly recommend.
I can't remember the author right now, but I would add into that list Love and Respect. That is a huge one for men, and I think couples should read that one. But, you know, reading from these resources, you know, reading books especially, you get to borrow someone else's brain. That's the great thing about reading books, is you get to borrow someone else's brain. Because any problems that me and Ash came across in our relationship, they were caused by our own brain. And we're not going to solve the problem that our brain created with our brain. We're not going to solve the problem with our brain that our brain created. So we need to borrow someone else's brain, if that makes sense. And I think so many people, that's why so many people are frustrated in their relationship, because they keep creating problems in their own relationship from their own brain, and then trying to use that same brain that created the problem to solve the problem it created. And it just doesn't work. That's why I think so many people are frustrated, and they keep that's why that mindset, I think, can be so harmful of, we're just going to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to try it out. We're going to just try it out and see what happens. Try it out, see what happens. That's not planning for success in your relationship.
Right,
that is rolling a die. And, And that's not what we wanted. That's not what we believed was possible.
So. Yeah. And if I looked at, now that I'm, you know, I'm married to you, Brian, and if I thought about that mindset, why would I, like, you're my best friend, you're my partner, you're the one who's going to, we're going to, you know, help each other get to heaven. Why would I treat you as if, you know, I'm just going to wing our relationship? That just sounds so disrespectful, I think, because you're more than just, you know, a car that I want to try out, you know, mm-hmm. for a spin. You know, you're not a car. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about something that I did personally.
Oh, yeah.
While I was, I think I was before I dated or while I was dating, I bought a journal and I thought to myself, what is the best way I can use this journal? How can I make this journal the most meaningful one I've ever written so far? Because if you're like me, I love to buy journals, but I try to write about my day one day, and then it doesn't get past day two. And so, so I decided that this journal was going to be filled with love letters to my future spouse. So this is, this kind of was my tool to get through those boxes, because I have, you know, 20,000 words. I have, you know, my daydreams, the way that I want my, you know, my marriage to be like, my wedding to be like, and I gotta put it somewhere. If I can't talk to my best friend, I gotta put it somewhere. And I just realized that, you know, those 20,000 words, those daydreams are a gift. And so I decided that I'm going to give it to my future spouse, but I can write them, you know? And so I think for, I forget how many years, but I wrote in my journal just some love letters to my future spouse. And here's the thing, Brian didn't know about this. I didn't even write his name in this journal because, you know, what if we didn't get married and my husband Jeremy's like, who's Brian? That's weird. But I think that just writing that journal even more so helped me to build a greater respect for my future spouse, for the person that Brian was going to be, that he was growing himself to be. If I thought about, you know, when we were dating or before we were dating, I thought about Brian's future spouse. If I thought of him up here, so I'm like, I'm kind of pointing higher up to my head, and I thought about the person I was, and I'm kind of putting my hand down to like my chest right here underneath my chin, so that I see that gap, and that future spouse and that person I am now, what can I do to fill that gap? Because I know that my future spouse deserved the best, and was I doing my best to become that person? And vice versa, what if Brian's praying for his future spouse? I'm praying for my future spouse, so what are we both doing to fill that gap, right? And so we knew that each other, you know, we were somebody's future girlfriend, boyfriend. We knew that we were each other's, you know, someone's future spouse. I knew that I was someone's, you know, future spouse. So what am I doing to uphold that dignity and treat them with respect?
Yeah, so Ash surprised me and she gave me that journal on our wedding day. And it is still to this day one of my most prized material possessions. And I love that journal, and I love that she entitled each letter "My Dear Future Spouse," because she didn't know that that was going to be me, but she knew that those messages would be for someone. And I just feel so fortunate that I get to read those letters now. But as Ash mentioned, like, it was a very healthy outlet for her to, to kind of exercise that female mind and that female vision, the visionary that she really is in terms of her life. So, that's just one of the many happy moments, and one of the few things that we did that really made a big difference in our relationship.
It really helped me a lot. I actually did a talk with some ladies like a month ago. Just talking about this journal and how it's helped me in my, you know, discerning the relationship, discerning marriage, the vocation to marriage. And at the end of the talk, I gifted each of these ladies a blank journal for them to write and give to their future spouse.
You know what I love about that? I bet that journal was as much a gift to yourself as it was to your future husband.
Absolutely.
I think that getting in touch with who we are and the desires that we have deep within our heart are so much about acknowledging, you know, our value and our dignity, and that our desires have dignity placed in the proper framework. And so I think that's so beautiful. So beautiful. I love the books that you mentioned. And one of my favorite books, it's actually a book for men, but I read it. It's called Wild at Heart by, is it John Eldridge?
I can't remember his first name, but it's Eldridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I love that book because it helped me understand men and what helps them thrive and come alive. And Ashley, when you were talking about the gap between how you perceived Brian and how you perceived yourself, that takes courage to tell yourself you can grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And I bet Brian did the same, understanding that we're always on this growth curve, mm-hmm. and that tomorrow we want to become an even better version of ourselves and pursue success. Not only regards into our boxes that we've been talking about, but success in terms of just me growing a little bit better mm-hmm. every day and every year, mm-hmm. and challenging ourselves to grow. I love the idea of having someone else speak into my life because they can see me the way I can't see me.
Absolutely. Right.
And for them to be open to pour into my life and give me a perspective and be honest enough to say, how can you grow? I think has been really beautiful. And you two have definitely demonstrated that. But I have to say that I have felt comfortable enough to come to you to ask you, how can I grow? Because you've demonstrated so much to me, that skill set and that mindset about not being afraid of that gap, but being courageous enough to say, there is a gap.
Yeah.
and I wanna grow to a higher height. And mm-hmm. so I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because as you're saying that, I'm thinking of the many hours you spent on the phone, Mom. Yeah, asking you like, how do I understand your son? Like, I know I've known him since I was 10, but I'm just like, I don't understand him sometimes, so I need your help.
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful. I love the way you folks have created a map, a pathway for people to copy, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of like one of my favorite speakers in the world. He said, yeah, I became successful by doing two things, daydreaming and copying. And I feel like if anybody out there listening to this incredible couple want to have success in their relationship, or even the kind of success that we talked about with Joseph, that you can utilize the tools that are available, the books that they mentioned, pursuing a mentor, you know, or a relationship, people that have good relationships, just talk story with them, right? Like Brian said, you're at a family reunion and you see a couple across you and you know they've been married for a bit. Ask them to pour into your life and to just maybe drop a few nuggets of success and advice. And I was wondering, Brian and Ash, are there any other maybe nuggets of advice that you want to give to people looking to have a fruitful relationship?
Oh, that's a loaded question. You know, the thing about everything we talk about is that there was so much joy for me and Ash as we got to open up the different boxes, the dating boxes, the engaged box, the marriage box. There was so much joy. So one of the pieces of advice I would give is believe in that joy. You know, believe that that joy is there. Believe that, you know, if you save things in those boxes and you get to that stage and you get to open that box, there will be so much joy. And I really cannot emphasize how beautiful and how amazing that was for me and Ash. And it continues to happen now as we, you know, have a baby now and we move into a new stage in our life. But just believe that that's there and don't be afraid to fight for it, because it is every time we open a box, it is more joyful and more fun and more exciting and more invigorating. And we just feel more loved each time. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what people want out of their relationship. They want it to be fun. They want it to be exciting. They want it to be life-giving. And I think believing in that and knowing that that's real and being willing to put in the work to allow that to happen and to be willing to give that gift to the other person is just so powerful. And most young people don't know that. Yeah. I don't think they know that because they haven't seen that. They've seen people struggle and suffer and you know, me, one of our favorite memories was me and Ash. It was early on in a relationship. We had just started dating and we went to Ruby Tuesdays. And that was just, to this day, like one of the most fun dates we went on. Because it was one of the first times we got to sit at a table. I pulled out her chair. You know, we held hands across the table. That was a new thing. You know, and we just got to open up the dating box and talk about the things we'd waited 2 years to talk about what kind of restaurants we'd like to go. And we looked around, we're like, oh my gosh, we had a restaurant movies together to on a date, yeah. Movies, you know, movies to watch together, you know, romantic places to go have a picnic, romantic places to just go and watch the sunset. And it was such a, like, we had previously gone to, like a fair thing. And there was somebody selling jewelry there, and Ash, you know, caught this set of earrings caught her eye, and she was like, oh, I think I want to get it, but I don't know. And I think I want to get it, I don't know. And I was like, oh, you know, you can always go back and get it later. And I snuck out and got it for her. And then she went back to go look at it again, and it was gone because I had bought it. And she came back and she was so upset, and she was like, oh, somebody got that earrings I wanted. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
The crazy, yeah.
I'm such a liar, right?
The crazy thing is that I swore I saw somebody else wear it. I was like, right, I think that lady's wearing the earrings that I want.
So at this Ruby Tuesday date, I gave it to her, and it was the first time I'd given her like a romantic token of my affection. And that was something so new and so special. Like, I didn't do that. I didn't buy girls jewelry.
Yeah.
I that was the first time I think I'd done that. And she still has those earrings to this day. And it's a special reminder of that fun time. And I think it's just so important to believe in that joy that's there. Because we were talking with the Dakotas one time, and they shared this story with us. They were traveling, and they got up in their hotel and they went downstairs to go have breakfast, right? And they were sitting nearby this woman, and you know, they started a conversation with her because that's who they are. And they found out that the woman had just got married the day before, and they're like, oh, congratulations! Well, you know, how you feel? Is it feel great to be married? And this young woman just said, you know, it was just another Saturday night. And they're like, oh, really? And they're like, oh, where's your husband? And she goes, oh, he's in bed hungover because he just drank all night. And that story just makes me and Ash feel so sad, because what that means is it means that couple didn't save anything for their marriage. They didn't say, you know, everything that they had done, they'd already done it all. They didn't save anything new for their marriage. They didn't save anything precious for when they reached that stage in the relationship. And when they opened the box, the only thing there was her waking up, going to go downstairs, have breakfast alone the morning of her first day as a married woman.
That is heartbreaking.
It is. Yeah. And so, you know, it might seem trivial to, oh, you know, we'll do this even though we're only dating, and we'll pull this out of the box even though, you know, it's not that big, but it matters. It matters because, you know, as you go along, if you keep doing that, there's not going to be anything in that box for you or the other person. And for us, we want it to be a gift to each other. We want it to be, you know, we want it to be the most amazing thing that God has ever given to that other person. And you can do that. You can do that for the person in your life. So our advice really is to believe that that joy is there. Believe that that ache and that desire that God put into your heart, it's there for a reason. And even though God can only truly satisfy that ache, there is still so much joy to be had here mm-hmm. on earth. Another piece of advice, just as kind of a sidebar, is, you know, pursue prayer. I know it sounds so cliche, right? Pursue prayer with the other person. But I would say specifically, find out what type of prayer really impacts you. For me and Ashley, we get the most out of Eucharistic adoration. That is what we personally get the most out of. For other couples, it might be, a praise and worship session, a jam session. For other people, it might be, serving in a ministry together. For other couples, it might be praying the rosary. Find out what that is for you and pursue that with the other person. We did that even before we were dating. We did that as when we were just friends. Because we were in a pretty cultured college, and that was hard. So we would go and pray and have adoration together. If there's someone that you're interested in, but not ready to date, you know, invite them to pray with you. Invite them to, you know, pursue a prayer life with you and see where your relationship grows from there. Even just as friends, that did so much for us in our relationship.
Yeah. And I was just going to echo everything that, Brian said and what we said earlier in this podcast is, I think John Paul II said, young people want their love to be beautiful. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. And just believe in that because, oh my gosh, someone asked me, like, if you had to look at your life, what was your golden year? Like, right when we got married. And even now I feel like, you know, because we had, when we got married, we got to open that big, big, beautiful golden box, right? And we just had a blast. You know, and some people say that the first 2 years are the hardest. I don't know what they're talking about. We're still figuring it out. Like, what are they having a heart? Like, what is it? I mean, should we argue more? I'm
like, yeah, let's fight.
You know? And, but I just, in the first year, or actually the first week of being married, I remember being in the car and being like, I feel like you're going to drop me off at home and be like, hey, Ash, that was fun. I'll see you tomorrow. Because I feel like, wait, we can do this again. This is like the best perpetual sleepover ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I get to go to bed next to you. I can get to wake up next to you. We get to have mm-hmm. breakfast together, dinner together. I have all these fun moments together. Oh, my gosh. Like, every day is like, it's like we have so much fun, so much fun.
Yeah, it's been great, and we're continuing to grow. And so for you listening, really just have hope. Really, really work at your relationships. Apply, some of the things we've talked about. And I would say, reach out to Hamawi Local for mm-hmm. more events going on, more things that you can plug into, more people that you can talk with and have these discussions with, because really having these discussions over the years has yeah. really helped me and Ashley develop our relationship. So
absolutely.
I would also say that is have discussions with like-minded people pursuing, the same journey, the same beauty, the same glory mm-hmm. as you are, because it is beautiful. It is glorious.
Amen. We definitely have open doors here at Hamau Iloko and all of our adventures together. We've been doing waterfall hikes and having yeah. theology of the body discussions and sharing potluck stuff together. And so it's just been really wonderful because we get to hear where people are in their mm-hmm. relationships. And we also get to hear about the brokenness
yeah.
and how they yeah. overcame that moment of brokenness, or maybe you could still see their body language. They're still in a little bit of like riff with each other. and it's okay, right? Because we're family. Mm-hmm. And when you come and spend the day with us, share a meal with us, share your heart with us, you become our family. And that's really what Hamau Iloko wants to do. We want to speak to your dignity, help you believe that everything heaven has to offer is yours, and giving you the tools to open those boxes, preserve those boxes, and honor those boxes is just part of the tools that we set before you. And so I am so pleased to be sharing this young couple with you. They've been married, what, 4 years?
Yep, 4 years and a baby.
They have one baby. And it's been an incredible journey. And young ladies and young men, mm-hmm. you can have that too. You can have fulfillment in your life. You can have tenderness in your life. You can have the most precious journey ever. And I hope that these tools that we've expressed with you today are going to help you. And so I just want to thank Brian. Thank you so much for being here and for bringing your wife, Ashley. It's truly a gift.
Thanks so much for having me back on again. And thank you for giving me the chance to show off my love and my life.
Thanks for having me here again. Appreciate you all. And thanks, babe, for this amazing life we have.
Yeah, they have an amazing life and they have an even more amazing future. So we will visit this relationship in the future. We just want to invite you to share our podcast with your friends and your family, and also visit our website. We have some video podcasts on there that are fun and exciting. We have access to our website and our retreats available at hamauiloko.org. So come on over, just plug it into your phone and see what we do. Give us a call to see if you would like us to serve your community. And of course, if you want to donate and support our work, we accept PayPal, Venmo, and Zelle. And I just want to thank you and mahalo you for joining us today. I am Maile Ayu Domingo, and this is The Music Within.